Wow, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we can lift your name up high this morning. Thank you as we remember your sacrifice. And thank you for the freedom that we have to gather and to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Nice to have you here. Welcome to Village Green and our Good Friday service. And for those of you online, welcome as well. Great that you are here. You know, just this morning I was sitting having my coffee, and as I normally do, I read a few articles, and I came across an article that had what all the nighttime talk shows had to say about Good Friday. Can you guess what they said? Do we want to guess what they said? You know, a couple were respectful, a couple were, you know, honored what this day represented. For the most part, they ridiculed it. They made fun of it. They treated it as something to be disdained. And I thought to myself, isn't that kind of the challenge that the cross has for each and every one of us? Then when we look at the cross, what do we see? What is it that we should respond when we think of the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross? Now, I want to pause this for just a minute, and I want to read a passage out of Luke's gospel. And what I like about Luke's gospel as he's relating the death of Jesus is that he gives us an insight to some of the responses of those that were there when Jesus hung on the cross. So in Luke 23, verses 44 to 49, it says this: "By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, 'Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.' And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said this: 'Surely this man was innocent.' And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching." Now, this passage recalls, you know, that awful day. It tells us that darkness fell upon the land. It tells us that the light of the sun had been dimmed. It tells us that the curtain in the temple had been torn. That it just has an ominous feel to it as you read it. And we all realize that there's a finality to death. How many of us have lost someone we cared about, and we realized that things were never going to be the same again? There was a finality to it. And I'm sure that was the sentiment of those that were witnessing Jesus dying on the cross, that things would never be the same again. And what would have been heart-wrenching for them is to realize that here is this man that did absolutely nothing wrong. He had taught thousands that they mattered to God. He told thousands that God still loved them, even though in the culture and in the society that they were a part of at the time, it was very easy to just categorize people and put them into categories of God will bless you, but not bless you. Here is a Jesus that went around healing people, touching people, you know, even raising people from the dead. And at a time when people languished under the weight of oppressive regimes, Jesus would free their souls in a way that no earthly power could ever confine again. And yet here's the same Jesus dying on a cross. Now, we have four Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you realize in all four Gospels, not once do the Gospel writers say at the cross that Jesus died? Did you know that? The terminology they use is he breathed his last, or he delivered his spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but it's almost as if the Gospel writers are telling us, by the way, this was no ordinary life that was lived. And because of that, this is no ordinary death. That there's something more to this. And I think of the centurion who, you know, after doing his duty as a Roman soldier, saw Jesus and said, something's not right here. This man was innocent. This man was righteous. There was something about this man's death that tells me that this was no ordinary man. Even the crowds who had witnessed what had happened to Jesus were told they walked away in deep sorrow. All of them recognizing that something was different about all this. And those that stood at a distance, pondering, wondering, what now? I think a primary question in their minds would have been, is God done? Is God finished? If this is the best example of what God can do when his only son is on this earth, does this mean God is done? And I think as they stood in the distance and they looked, I don't think they could accept that answer that God was done. I think there's hints all in the story of the crucifixion that God was going to do something even greater than what was being witnessed in that time. After all, does it mean that Rome wins? Does it mean that the religious hypocrites win? Does it mean that the darkness wins? You know, there are times in our lives where we're going to be challenged, where it's going to feel like the darkness is done. And a question is going to come to your mind, is God finished? But can I challenge you today to say that you are never finished until God says you're finished? You are never done until God says you are done. And I know we live on the other side of the story of Jesus, and we know what happens because, you know, it's Friday today, but Sunday's coming. But I would argue that even within the story of the crucifixion, there is this glimmer that God is not done. Something greater is happening. And if you understand it, if you know it, if you see it, then the cross is something to celebrate and not to mourn. You know, Jesus indicated this. I'm going to introduce us to communion now, because as the youth showed us in their drama today, when Jesus sat down with the disciples, he thought and foreknew what was about to happen to him. What I love about the communion story is something that we maybe haven't thought of before, is that as the nation of Israel celebrated Passover, The Passover was a celebration of something that God had already done in the nation. It was a recounting of the history. But what Jesus did was something totally unique. He had not gone to the cross yet. He had not sacrificed himself yet. And yet when he got into the room with his disciples and he, you know, took the elements of the Passover meal, and I'm going to invite you to take those. Now, if you don't have elements, we can have somebody come around and give you those. If you just want to raise your hand for just a minute. But Jesus said some very, very powerful things that ultimately communicates that God is not done with you. You may think you're done with God, but God is not done with you. Now, as I introduce communion, I want to just remind you of a couple of things. We take up a benevolent offering during this time. So at the end of communion, people are going to come around and gather up the garbage when we're done. Or you can take the garbage out on your way out. And we're going to collect that benevolent fund. That benevolent fund helps us to help people who are in real need. So we want to thank you for that. Also, we at Village Green celebrate what's called an open communion. For those of you that are visiting here this morning or online visiting this morning, if you have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and you follow Jesus Christ, you are welcome to participate in communion with us this morning. That, guess what? You're part of the family. Whether you don't often sit at our table, it doesn't matter today. You are part of our family. And welcome. Nice to have you here. But before we get into the actual process of communion, I want to take a few moments of silent reflection. A moment where I want to ask you, where do you stand with Jesus? As you reflect on the cross, what do you see? Do you see the reality that God is not finished with you? Do you see the reality that God has done something that is for you? Jesus did not get on the cross to satisfy some whim that he had. It was part of a greater plan of God to bring salvation to the world, to bring healing to our lives, to bring forgiveness to our lives, in order that we could live as fully adopted sons and daughters of God. So, as we take this moment of silent reflection, I'm asking you again, where do you stand with Jesus? During that reflection time, again, let me challenge you. If your heart is open to Jesus Christ, wouldn't this be just a wonderful opportunity to celebrate your very first communion with fellow believers of your newfound faith in Christ? So, as we take the bread together, Jesus gathered with his disciples and he said, this bread is my body that is broken for you. And he said, take this and eat it. And as we all recognize, this is before Jesus went to the cross, was willing to have his body crushed, bruised, broken, because of his deep love for you. And during that same time, during that Passover meal with the disciples, he took the cup. This cup is part of the Passover meal. And he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, recognizing that what he was going to accomplish on the cross was going to bring in a whole new era of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus said, when he took that cup, drink this in remembrance of me. Now I'm going to ask the ushers to go around and begin collecting the benevolent offering for those of you that are willing to do so. And again, no pressure. We are very thankful for any gift you leave. But as they're going around, I want to invite you to do the last part of this communion celebration and this Good Friday celebration. We've talked about the cross. We've talked about that it's a reminder that God is not done with us. It's a reminder that God loved us so much that he'd be willing to send his son to accomplish something that we could never do on our own. And this is done at a time where many of us, as we look at the cross, wonder what a horrible, horrible day that must have been. And yet Jesus was willing to suffer the cross for you and I. So in light of that, we are going to take a moment to light a candle. Now, if you don't have a candle, there will be people that are go around and pass them out to you. And this is the symbolic gesture that we are going to engage in this morning. Some of you are having incredible difficulties in your life right now. Some of you have doubts that you don't know what you're going to do with. Some of you are suffering from health issues that is bringing the darkness into your life in a way that you never imagined possible. Some of you have suffered loss that even to this day, you can feel the pain of it in such a way that you know it's never going to go away. Some of you are wondering what tomorrow is going to bring. It's been a dumpster fire the last number of years, and you're wondering if there's any hope for the future. Some of you are wondering if things are ever going to get right again. Some of you are going to wonder, you know, with everything that I've done in my life, there's just no way that God would care for me. With everything that I have done in my life, there's just no way God would even use that four-letter word love when it pertained to me. But today we're going to light a candle. And what this candle is going to signify for each and every one of us, that no matter the darkness, no matter the difficulty, no matter the problems, no matter the situation or the circumstances, there's always a light that we can turn to. That Jesus, by his death on the cross, would never leave us hopeless, that we have an eternal promise and hope in Jesus Christ. And today, when I ask you to stand and we light these candles and pass them around, I want you to stand in victory, recognizing what Jesus has done for you. Can we do that? Can we recognize that we may celebrate a dark day historically, but it was the revelation of the power of God to bring forgiveness through the death of his son. And that is good news for each and every one of us. So I'm going to begin by lighting this first candle. Then I'm going to ask the others to come forward. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we collectively light each other's candle to remember that we always have hope. That through Jesus, there is always a way out.